Well, let's come and commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer, shall we pray? Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can sing of that wonderful love this evening. Lord, we wouldn't be here, Lord God, apart from that love. How we thank you for that love that has pursued us, Lord God, even, Lord God, before we were born, that love that was set upon us. And how we thank you for a seeking Saviour, one who came to seek and to save those who were lost. We thank you for the Good Shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. And the one, O Lord, who never rests content until he has found that lost sheep and brought it home on his shoulders rejoicing. And we thank you, Lord God, that there are still many sheep to be saved and to be brought back to the Shepherd and Bishop of their souls, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray tonight, O God, that as the gospel goes out, not only here in Belvedere, but across the continents of this world, that, Lord, you would be pleased to use that message, Lord, by your Spirit, and to gather in your people. We pray that many, Lord God, of the Saviour's sheep for whom he died may be gathered in, and that we may see this great increase of his kingdom. We may see his glory in a blaze. Lord, we may indeed see, Father, your powerful saving work in our midst. We pray that you would indeed do wonderful things here tonight. And we pray that many, Lord God, may come face to face with that personal love of God in Jesus Christ, and that they may indeed be brought, Lord God, to that place of repentance and faith, that they may indeed taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, we pray that many, Lord God, may, Lord, be able to sing from the heart tonight, "Come to my heart, O thou wonderful love. Come and abide." We pray that many, Lord, may know what it is to be taken up in that heavenly embrace, and to know the arms of the eternal God around them and their reconciliation through Jesus Christ. Lord, do mighty things, we pray. Lord, do indeed challenge us and strengthen us and encourage us tonight, we pray, in this hour of worship. May it be a true encounter with you, the living God. May we know that you are here tonight. Lord, may we be conscious, Lord, lose all consciousness of time and, Lord, and the things around us. And may we indeed be more conscious than ever of eternity and of spiritual things. And we do pray, Lord God, that your word may come alive to us tonight, and that, Lord, you may come clothed in your word. Oh, Lord, do indeed mighty things among us, and receive the worship of our hearts. Cleanse us from our many sins, through Jesus Christ our Saviour. Amen. Well, let's turn to the reading of God's word, and our reading this evening is found in the Gospel according to St. John, and we're reading from the first chapter, John's Gospel in the first chapter, and we're commencing to read from the 29th verse. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him.' I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Again the next day John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher," "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks and praise that we can draw near to you this evening. We thank you for this wonderful access into your presence. We thank you that we do not have to go through any earthly priest. We thank you for our great High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has opened up that way into your presence for us. We thank you that we can freely come, Lord, not even just to the outer courts of your presence, but we can draw near within the veil itself. We thank you that we can come into that innermost sanctuary. We thank you that we have access through the blood of Jesus. And we praise you that we can come freely, Lord, not merely as those who have been ransomed and healed, restored, forgiven, but also those who have been adopted into your family. We thank you for that grace of adoption and the blessing of sonship. We thank you that we do not come as slaves, but we come as your sons this evening. And we thank you, O God, for the Holy Spirit whom you have sent forth into our hearts, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who testifies to our spirit that we are the children of God. And we do thank you, Lord God, that we can come in that filial fear and in that filial love this evening. We thank you, Lord God, for the way that you provide for all our needs. And we do thank you, Lord God, for that rich provision in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we thank you for the riches of his grace and the unsearchable riches that are to be found in him. And we do pray tonight, O God, that each one of us may experience something of those riches in Jesus Christ. Lord God, we pray that you would be pleased to open our hearts and minds to receive your truth tonight. And Lord, we pray that for some this evening, Lord, that this may be the first day of the rest of their lives. Lord, that that new day may dawn upon them, that they may be brought to that new birth in the Spirit. Lord, that their life may be changed and that they might know the power of the gospel, Lord, in their experience. We pray, O God, that they may be delivered from their darkness, delivered from that guilt and bondage of their sin, and that they may be brought into that glorious light and liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ, who can set us free. Oh, Father, we pray tonight that there may be, Lord, a mighty work done, Lord God, in the hearts and lives of men and women and young people here this evening. And we do pray that we may stand and see, Lord, the salvation of the Lord, and that we may acknowledge that the power to save is thine. Lord, that we can do nothing, that we are merely but channels, Lord God, and those who can point others to the Saviour. But we pray that many, Lord God, may come face to face with that saving encounter with him. And that there may indeed be that wonderful experience of old things passing away and everything becoming new. Lord, we pray that you have blessed the ministry on the internet too. We do thank you, Lord God, for this vehicle of proclamation of the gospel. And we do pray that, Lord, wherever it is heard, Lord, in these days, that you would use it mightily for the glory of your name. We pray that you will build your church and expand your kingdom in these days. And we do pray that we may indeed receive, Lord, news of people in other countries coming to faith and, Lord, receiving the bread of life for themselves. We do pray, Lord God, that you would bless us in the work this week. We pray, O God, for the fellowship here, that you would be with those who will be ministering. We think of Peter on Thursday, and we think of Ian on Sunday. We commend these brethren to you, and we pray that you would help them in preparation. Help them, Lord God, as they wait upon you for that, Lord, message that they should bring. And we pray that they may come, Lord, in the full blessing of the gospel. And that, Lord, you may use them in a mighty way, Lord God, to the building up of your people and the extension of Christ's kingdom. And we do pray, Lord God, that spiritual needs may be met and your people may be sanctified and may grow in grace as a result, O Lord God, of that ministry from yourself. We do pray, Lord God, too, that you would be with us as we think about the coming Holiday Bible Club. We do thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity of, Lord, discussing the details this past week. And, Lord, we thank you, Father, for the opportunities before us. We thank you for past, Lord, times when you have met with us and for many, many children who have come under the sound of the gospel. And, Lord, we do pray that, Lord, ministry may not be lost to them. We pray, O God, that they may ever think upon those things that they have heard in the past. And that, Lord God, you may indeed arrest and apprehend many of these children, that they may truly come to experience that love of God in Jesus Christ. And we pray that as the invitations go out shortly, Lord, that Lord, many, Lord, children in local schools may respond to the invitation, and Lord, that they may have that desire to be among us, Lord, for that Bible week. And we do pray, Lord God, that there may be a real spiritual work accomplished in many hearts in this place. Be with those, Lord God, who will be speaking, and those, Lord God, who will be taking part, Lord, we do pray that we may work together, that we may be labourers together in the gospel, and we do pray that we may know the joy, Lord God, of Christian service, and serving together, Lord, with lowliness of mind, esteeming others better than ourselves. Lord, may there be a warm spirit among us, we pray, and may there be, Lord, a wonderful outcome, Lord, a great harvest, Lord God, in the coming months. And we pray, Lord God, that many homes, Lord God, may be touched with the gospel. And we pray, O God, that, Lord, many, Father, will be changed, Lord God, as a result of your powerful truth. We do pray, Father, O Lord, too, that you would be with the needs of our world. We think of the situation in the Middle East. Lord, we think, Lord God, of the ensuing difficulties between Palestine and Israel. And Lord God, with the coming, Lord God, of Hamas, Lord, into a position of power. Oh, Lord our God, we know that you are sovereign over all these matters. We know that you're in control, and we do pray, O God, that, Lord, you would have mercy upon both Jew and Arab in these days. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your love that extends to all nations. And, Lord God, we do pray, Father, O Lord, that both Palestinian and Jew may come to know that peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gospel that reaches out to them both, and we pray, O God, that these barriers of hatred and hostility may be broken down. And we pray that even in these days, Lord God, you may, Lord, be pleased to work and gather, Lord, in a remnant, Lord, both from Jews and from these Gentile peoples. We pray, O God, that you would give wisdom to leaders. Lord God, we pray, Father, O Lord, that warfare may be prevented. And we do pray, Lord God, that hostilities, Lord God, may cease. And we pray, Lord God, that people may realize the value of human life. Lord, of men and women created in the image and likeness of God. Lord, may wisdom be given to these people. Lord, deliver us, Lord God, from fanatics and extremists, we pray. Grant that there may be peace in our day. And we do pray, O God, that you would further your purposes, Lord, in this world. We know, Lord God, that evil men will wax worse and worse, as your word declares, as we come closer to that day of the Lord. And we do pray, O God, that you would indeed gather in your people before that great and awesome day of the Lord shall come. Lord, we pray that while the gospel, Lord God, is being proclaimed, while the door of salvation is still open wide, that many may respond to that message. Lord, to be wise and to kiss the Son, lest he be angry and they perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. But may they come to know the blessedness of all who put their trust in him. Hear us for these things, we pray. We commend, Lord, each one to you. We do pray that you would minister to the youngest and to the eldest. And we do pray that each one may know, Lord, of your promised presence with them. You are a God who will never leave them nor forsake them. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to turn with me once again tonight in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark. And we're looking at the first chapter, Mark chapter 1, and we come this evening to verses 16 through to 20. And as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat, mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Well, last Sunday evening we were looking at verses 14 and 15 of this tremendous opening chapter of Mark's Gospel, where we saw the beginning of our Lord's Galilean ministry. Mark tells us that after John had been put in prison, that Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The message that Jesus preached along the shore of the Sea of Galilee was the good news of the kingdom. Jesus proclaimed that the kingdom, the reign of God, was present to break into the lives of men and women, to set them free from the power of sin and the power of Satan, and to bring them into that glorious freedom of the children of God. The kingdom had arrived in the ministry of the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore the people were commanded to respond, repent, and believe the gospel. Well, now we come this evening to verses 16 through 20. And you'll notice that in these verses, Mark records the calling of the first disciples. They were four fishermen by the names of Simon and Andrew, James and John. Jesus called them while they were out fishing. And we read that immediately they left everything to follow him. Now it's important to understand that this was not the first time that Jesus had spoken to these men. This in fact was not the first call that they had received. Because we read earlier in the Gospel according to St. John chapter 1 that these men had met Jesus some months earlier, and they had become his spiritual followers. How much they knew about him, we don't really know at that stage, but certainly they had begun to follow him. And therefore what we find in this passage before us this evening is not their initial call to faith and salvation, but rather a call to discipleship, a call to radical obedience and radical service. This was in fact to be a very special call, which was eventually issued to 12 individuals. And they were to become our Lord's most intimate disciples. They were to be with him for 3.5 years. And then after his resurrection, they were to be commissioned as the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now you may be thinking to yourselves, well, if that is the case, then what possible relevance does this passage have for us today? Well, I believe it has the utmost relevance in that the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Saviour, still issues a similar call to men and women, boys and girls today. He may not be calling you tonight to give up your employment and to become full-time Christian missionaries, but he is calling you to follow him and to become fishers of men. The Lord Jesus Christ still issues a call to radical obedience. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ did not come to this earth in order to elicit decisions. He came to make disciples. He came to call upon men and women to deny themselves and to take up the cross and to daily follow Him. You see, the call of God to us today is no less radical than it came to that group of humble fishermen along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus says, "Come, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Now, as we look at this tremendous statement in verse 17 this evening, there are three simple things that I want you to notice with me. And the first thing that we see here is that there is a person to follow. There is a person to follow. Jesus simply says, "Follow me. Follow me." And this is an invitation, the Bible tells us, that is extended to all humankind. This is a message that goes out to the very ends of the earth. The Bible tells us that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ invites all people everywhere to come and to follow Him. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come, He says, come and follow me. The Lord Jesus Christ is still calling men and women, boys and girls, to Himself. Now, this idea of calling is a very important one in the Bible. It is a term that is used literally hundreds of times throughout the New Testament, let alone the Old Testament. And it's a word that we can so easily just skip over in our daily reading of the Scripture. But I want you to see this evening that it is a term that contains an amazing truth. Because according to the New Testament, the Christian faith is essentially a call from heaven. It is a call to salvation. It is a call to radical obedience. It's a call to discipleship. We became Christians because God called us. You remember how the Apostle Peter reminds us of this in his first letter. He says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you should proclaim the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." As Christians tonight, we are the called of Jesus Christ. The risen Lord says to men and women today, "Come and follow me." Now, whenever the Bible uses that term called or calling, it's important to understand that it's used in at least two different senses. In fact, the Bible speaks of two very different types of calling. It speaks about an outward general call, and it also speaks about an inward effectual call. Well, let's just take a look at these two. And first of all, the Bible speaks of a general call. You see, the Bible tells us that God summons all people everywhere to acknowledge Him. And one of the ways in which God speaks and communicates to men and women today is through creation. This has happened since the very beginning of time. God is speaking through the things He has made. David tells us in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the earth. You see, here we have a glorious picture of the voice of creation. God has revealed Himself, His eternal power, His divine qualities in the things that He has made. And God calls upon men and women to acknowledge Him through it. God is speaking through creation. But in addition to this, the Bible also tells us that God speaks to men and women through the universal proclamation of the gospel. And that's why John appeared in the wilderness of Judea, preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's why Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has drawn near, repent and believe in the gospel." You see, God has commissioned his church to go into all the world to proclaim the good news to all creation. And God calls upon men and women and calls them to himself through that means of the outward, external, general call of the gospel. But clearly the message is not always received. You remember Jesus himself said, "Many are called, but few are chosen." You see, the gospel call goes out into all the world, but there are few comparatively who respond favourably. In fact, instead of softening hearts and drawing men and women to Christ, that message can often result in a hardening of the heart. And the church experienced that yesterday. As the gospel call went out, people were called to Christ and called to salvation. There were people who passed by who despised and rejected the message. They were handed tracts with a gospel invitation. They rejected it. They threw them down. They wouldn't have it. You see, this is the result of this outward, general, external call of the gospel. But thank God tonight the Bible goes on to speak of another type of call, which has far different results. And this has been described as internal or effectual calling. Effectual calling is literally a call from God that is powerful and effective. It is God's irresistible call to men and women, which actually brings them out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's a call that is powerful and authoritative and actually brings sinners to a living Saviour. You see, this is the call that brings us to salvation. And this is the reason why those of us who are Christians tonight are saved. It was because that outward call came to us with power. We might have heard that outward call many times in the past, and yet it had no effect upon us. It was just like water off a duck's back. But suddenly, that message came to us with power in the Holy Spirit. And immediately, we were brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were brought to the foot of the cross in repentance towards God. It was a call that was powerful and authoritative. We heard the voice of Jesus saying to us, "Come to me and rest." Sinclair Ferguson puts it like this. He says, "There is a call which comes to all men from God through the many evidences he has left of his presence in the world. But there are also times when God sends notices of demand, as it were, rather than mere reminders. When he comes personally, knocking at the door, rather than by circular letter." Of course, there is an element of mystery in this experience. We know what it is to hear God addressing us powerfully and personally through a passage in the Bible or a sermon that we hear. But when we discuss that passage or sermon with others, we discover that it has meant very little to them. We may not be able to say why God has spoken in this clear way to us and not to others. We only know that in his sovereign wisdom he has. We know that two people can listen to the same gospel sermon. One will hear the voice of Christ calling him to faith, while the other only hears the words of the preacher. Such is the difference between this outward, external, general call and this internal, spiritual and effectual call. And I believe what we have in this passage before us is an illustration of effectual calling. You see, the Son of God suddenly appears out of the blue along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And in the distance he can see Simon and Andrew, and they're fishing and they're pulling in their nets. And immediately he calls them. And we read that instantly they drop everything and they follow him. And then a bit later on, he comes across James and his brother John in the ship mending their nets. They're hard at work, busy getting the nets ready for the next catch. And suddenly Jesus calls them and says, "Come, follow me." And immediately again, without any ifs or buts or hesitation, they drop everything. They forsook all to follow Christ. My friends, what else could possibly account for these four hardened fishermen leaving their jobs, leaving their homes, leaving their families, leaving their livelihood, than the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ calling them irresistibly to himself? "Come and follow me." The call of God came to them with authority and with power. And this, of course, is precisely what the hymn writer is getting at when he says, "Have you heard the voice of Jesus softly pleading with your heart? Have you felt his presence glorious as he calls your soul apart? Have you heard the Saviour calling all to leave and follow him? Have you felt his person drawing with compulsion lives to win? Hearken to his invitation, to the music of God's grace. Let the peace of God's salvation fill your soul and love embrace." Friend, tonight, is that true of you? Is that your experience? Have you heard the voice of Jesus pleading, tenderly pleading with your heart, saying, "Come to me, come and rest"? Have you hearkened? Have you responded to that invitation, to the music of God's grace? For the risen Lord is speaking tonight, and he's saying to you, "Come, come and follow me." There is a person to follow. But then there is a second thing that we see in this passage before us. Not only is there a person to follow, but there is secondly a power to fashion. There is a power to fashion. Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will make you become." And I will make you become. There is a power, a supernatural power to fashion. And what power, what divine power Jesus possesses. As we read through the Gospels, we discover that Jesus has the power to save. He has the power to cure. He's able to heal the sick. He's able to raise even the dead to life. He has the power to create. He was the one who was able with a word to turn water into wine. And he is the one who has the power to control. He was able to still the storm. Even the wind and the waves, they obey him. But most of all, the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to change and to transform people's lives. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ called those four fishermen along the shore of Galilee. He wanted to change them. He wanted to fashion them. He wanted to transform them into the kind of people that God wanted them to be. Do you remember the first time that Jesus met with Simon? We read about it in John chapter 1. Jesus saw him and he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," or Peter, which means the rock. You see, Jesus, by changing his name, was indicating that he had the authority and the power to change Peter's character, to make him into a new man. You see, Simon the impetuous was to become, by God's grace, Peter the rock. And that is precisely what Christianity is all about. You see, the change that takes place in conversion is so radical that it's akin to being born all over again. Christianity is not simply the old life reformed and patched up and made a little bit better. It is the receiving of a brand new life. It's the very life of God breaking into our souls and quickening and making us anew. Paul could truly say, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. the Lord Jesus Christ has come to change people's lives. And that transformation, once begun, will continue until we are conformed into the image and the beauty of Jesus Christ. The Apostle John could say to those Christians in the early church, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before Him, lost in wonder, love and praise. There is a person to follow. There is a power to fashion. And then the final thing that we see here this evening is that there is a purpose to fulfill. A purpose to fulfill. Jesus goes on to say, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Fishers of men. Now it's wonderful tonight to know that the Lord Jesus Christ has a pattern and a plan and a purpose for each and every one of our lives. But whatever purpose that might be, it most definitely involves becoming a fisher of men. You see, this is the great commission of God to every disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be fishers of men. It's the strategy of God to use followers of the Lord Jesus Christ to go fishing for their fellow men. Now, we have already seen tonight that the command of God to the unbeliever is come. That's the first word of the gospel, and what a blessed word it is. Come. It's not a word that tells us to go and do something. It's not a word that tells us to go and work. No, it's a blessed word that tells us to come, simply to come. That's all we are commanded to do. Come to me and have life. Come to me and be saved. Come to me and I will give you rest. The Lord Jesus Christ offers everything. He provides everything. All the resources of heaven, all the riches of His mercy, His goodness and grace. And He simply says to you tonight, come. And then once you have come and become a Christian and been saved by God's grace and transformed by His mighty power, the command is then go. Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to all creation. Come and then go. That's Christ's heavenly commission to His church. In Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth." A Christian is called to be a witness. We are called to be fishers of men. One writer says, "Many Christians today are in danger of falling into the same basic error as the Jews of the Old Testament, who came under the severest disciplines and judgments of God for their sin." Their sin was this: they came to think of themselves as the end of God's dealings and God's mercies, rather than as a means to the fulfillment of an end beyond themselves. They came to think that God was blessing them so that they could keep the blessing. They failed to see that they were meant to be channels of blessing, canalizing the divine grace and the divine revelation beyond themselves to others. God had called them to be a light to the other nations, and yet they kept all these riches and all these blessings and treasures to themselves. They put themselves on a pedestal, and thus the truth and the blessing became trapped within their lives. And are there not many today who are in danger of falling into that selfsame error? There are many tonight who love the word of God. They love the hymns of Zion. They love the fellowship of God's people. They love the local church. But they think of themselves as the end of God's dealings, rather than as a means to an end beyond themselves. They think of themselves only as vessels to be filled, rather than as channels of blessing. They keep everything to themselves, and thus the good news becomes trapped and imprisoned and stagnant within their lives. They have failed to learn the lesson of history. They have failed to become fishers of men. Come, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. One of the common expressions that was used when I was in junior school, whenever anyone found something, was finders keepers, losers weepers. But how can that possibly be said of the Christian who has found the pearl of greatest price? How can we possibly keep this good news to ourselves when there are masses and millions tonight heading for eternal hell? I say it is the command of God that all followers of the Lord Jesus Christ should become fishers of their fellow men. Another thing to notice here is that fishing involves both preaching and witnessing. Preaching and witnessing. You see, on the one hand, in this passage, we have the public preaching of John the Baptist and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then on the other, we have the personal, individual witness of the disciples. In John chapter 1, we read this evening how it was Andrew who brought Simon to Jesus. And then we read how Philip went and called Nathanael, and he brought Nathanael to Jesus. And he came face to face with the Son of God and was changed by him. You see, preaching and witnessing supplement each other in the purposes of God, and God uses both to the conversion of his people. Now, of course, we're not all called to be preachers, but we're all called to be witnesses. We're called to be fishers of men. And there is tremendous encouragement here tonight, because the weakest, the simplest, the most ignorant believer in the Lord Jesus Christ can be used by God to bring others into the gospel net. You see, you don't need to be an experienced and an expert fisherman in order to catch fish. This was discovered only a few weeks ago. Some of our members went fishing down to Deal. And of all people, they took with them Darren. And he was just a novice. He didn't know one end of the fishing rod from another. But you know, after a few hours of experience under his belt and a bit of patience there, well, he landed his first fish. He was absolutely overwhelmed and overjoyed and delighted. Of course, he'll tell you it was this big. But in fact, it was only this little tittle. But you see, it was a real fish. He had landed a fish. And in the same way, you do not need to be a Bible-trained, Bible college-trained person. You do not need to be a gifted evangelist. You do not need to be a person with great reason speech. All that is needed to bring a lost soul to the Lord Jesus Christ is a heart knowledge of him yourself. And who knows what the result might be. Let's remember that it was that simple witness of Andrew, that little witness, those few words that he spoke, that was the link in the chain that led to Peter's conversion. And then it was through the preaching of Peter on the day of Pentecost that was used by God mightily to land 3,000 souls into the gospel net. And it may be your simple witness tonight, a word in season here and there, that may result in the conversion of another Peter, another Paul, another Spurgeon, another Lloyd Jones. Who knows what the result might be? There is preaching, there is witnessing, they're married together, they go hand in hand. May God help us to follow closely the Lord Jesus Christ, that he may make us to become true fishers of men for his glory. Let us pray. Oh, blessed Lord, how we do thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who extends that gospel call. We thank you for those tender words, follow me. We do thank you, O God, for the simplicity of the message. And we do thank you, Lord God, for this call to radical obedience, the obedience of faith. We pray, O God, that there may be many here tonight who will be willing, Lord, to leave all to follow him. We pray, Lord God, that we would indeed lay aside our idols and those things, Lord God, that we set our hearts upon, those things, Lord God, that are difficult to give up. We pray, Lord, that we might come to realize, O God, that in Jesus Christ there are unsearchable riches, and that, Lord, the things of this world, Lord, that glitter are not gold. We pray that we may indeed realize, Lord God, that no one is a fool who gives up all for Christ. Lord, that it's not merely a case of giving up, but it's a case of receiving all. And we do pray that many may respond and hear the voice of the Son of God. And we pray for those of us who are followers, Lord, that our lives may be fashioned and moulded by the Saviour more and more, by his supernatural power to sanctify and to create, that we may become experienced fishers of men, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say the grace, shall we? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore.